all of this to you, thanking you for the way you bless us. You give us health, you give us wholeness, you give us life, you give us provision, protection, promotion, and we pray that over us and especially over our pastors. Jay and his healing from the shingles, Pastor Lanny and Alexia, whether returning from Cuba for another tremendous two-week ministry over there, bringing light into darkness. We just pray you bring them all to a safe place, home and healthy, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, please welcome Pastor Robin Beal, who's going to share the word with us.
Thank you. I'm moving to Savannah, Georgia. South Carolina is not too far. I have been going around for months saying thank you to people and calling people, because on the 27th when I speak, I do not intend to say thank you to anyone but the pastor. And here's the reason why. I have learned in my years of being in the church that you always miss somebody. And when you walk away, your heart is grieved because you feel like, I don't want that person to hurt, and I overthink everything. And so because of that, I feel inside grieved for the person that I felt like I slighted. So many of you have received calls from me. I have stopped by. I have done things because I want to say all my thank yous ahead of time. And I am eternally grateful for all that this church has done for me, for my son, and for our lives. I'm eternally grateful. We're not here for that today. We're here for me to speak. And I felt like Brother Brandon was walking into the venue, so what a blessing. And it's a little bit different, but it's still a blessing. I wanted to speak with you today about flash drought. And I'm going to do a spiritual comparison to a drought. One of the things that is amazing to me that will shock most of you, I really love weather. I watch the Weather Channel as if I'm watching a program. I enjoy learning about weather. I think weather is fascinating. I also think weather is fascinating because inside, I feel like weather tells me more about God and who he is. I have had my son, when he would be home, he'd say, can we watch something else, please? And I would say, go watch your TV, because this TV's on the Weather Channel. And I would be glued there because I do. I enjoy looking at the different types of weather. I also enjoy understanding the way that weather works. And it often shows me how awesome our God really is. But I also get a lot of spiritual things out of it today. And so I want to bring that forth. We have been listening on the Weather Channel. I have been listening on the Weather Channel about droughts. And droughts have many causes. It's caused by not receiving rain or snow over a period of time. If you live in a place where most of the water you use comes from a river, a drought in your area can cause those places to dry up. And upstreams, you may not come down the proper way because it's starting to dry up. Maryland has been in a flash drought. It seems like it just stopped raining months on end because of the hot weather. And I don't know about you, but I have to be honest. And people say, well, why are you going to Georgia? I don't know. That's what God asked me to do. I don't really like hot weather. And so it's been interesting, but I'll have to tell you something funny about that a little later. In September, we had the hottest month we have ever had in Maryland. And then there was a flash drought. Virtually all the states is considered abnormally dry. According to the United States Drought Monitor, about a third of the state, including Anne Arundel County, Harford, and Howard counties are all in moderate droughts. Today, I came to give a comparison of a flash drought and a spiritual drought. Remember, a drought is just the beginning of a severe drought. Remember, a flash drought is just the beginning of a severe drought. So the flash drought is just the beginning. It gets worse. And I think often you see the sign that says, do you need the rain of the Spirit? We get signs, we get symptoms, and it's just the beginning. And we get a little flash where we're struggling to go and get in the Word, where we're struggling and we're losing interest in coming to church. We're losing interest in people talking to us about the Word of God. It is just a flash drought. But if we don't move in the right areas, it becomes a drought. Next, we see that drought stresses the crops. But a lack of recent rain and unreasonable hot conditions have combined, and now what the meteorologist is calling a flash drought is just the opposite of a flash flood. When waters rise rapidly, only the opposite. So the opposite of this is the flash flood is when the waters are rising. The opposite here is the waters are going down. When I was a little girl, I remember coming into the church, and they would say, the rain of the Holy Spirit is here. And this morning, we sang, Holy Spirit, thou art welcome. I'm telling you that just like that rain, if you want the rain of the Holy Spirit to be in your life, you have to come out of the drought and fight for the rain. Go get it. Here, it says, not only about the crops and everything that dies. Look at the pictures. These are pictures from Maryland. And these are the pictures that have been on every meteorologist channel, on the weather channel, from Maryland, as to how dry it has been. Effects of the flash drought in the short and long term. I'm going to start with the short term and I'm going to get to the long term, because most of us don't do anything until it gets bad. We start out talking about it. Oh, I need to do this. Oh, I need to do that. And then when it gets bad, we then start saying, I got to do this. I got to do that. And we find out how bad it gets. Parched ground, lower stream flow, dying roots, brown grass, stressed crops. Then it gets really bad. There becomes problems for the farmers at picking time. They have a harder sorting process because now they've got to sort the good from the bad. Now they've got to they actually have to stop and say, what is edible and what isn't? Not only that, they have loss of money. I only know one person that has a farm, and they're not here. But that one family we met years ago when I first got married, we met a family that had a farm. It's been extremely difficult for them over the years, off and on. Sometimes they've had an abundance, and it's been very lucrative. This season right now in their life, it has not been that lucrative. And they've been considering selling off land. They've been considering selling off stocks. So their lives are not in a happy place at this point. Higher prices in the store. Now we can go to the store and all of a sudden the prices are jacked up. Why? Because there was a drought. And it costs more to put those in the store. And they have less. Then we have quality, not the same. And we end up with quality versus quantity. And it's not the same. I was reading something that was interesting. And I wanted to share this with you in one of the studies I was doing at devotion time. Saint Basil, the great, they called him. He was tireless. History says he was tirelessly in pastoral ministry. He preached twice a day to big, huge crowds. He built a hospital that was called the Wonder of the World. As youth, he organized famine reliefs and worked in soup kitchens. He fought prostitution way before the time. He was best known for his speaking. He was best known for his writing. But all of this happened 72 years after his death. He did all of these wonderful things, and 72 years after his death, that's when people were really concerned about all the wonderful things he did. He wrote this: "Many a man cursed the rain that fall on his head and knows not it brings abundance to drive away the hunger." Many a man. Here's the thing I want to ask you. Are you one of those ones? Are you one of those ones that's cursing the word, cursing the idea of coming to church, cursing the idea of prayer, cursing the idea of Bible reading, cursing the idea of Bible teaching and correction because it's hitting or laying on your head? We get like that. Whenever we go through something, we get like that. But I want to encourage you that you're going through a drought, and it's time to come forward and begin to let the Holy Spirit move in that drought. Robin, have you ever gone through a drought? I have. And that's why this next point became so important to me. We as Christians forget one thing. We say, oh, well, I must be doing great because I'm still doing something. Having performance-based Christianity is not the right thing. I want to tell you that as a Christian, I know how to get up and go to church. I also know how to teach Sunday school. I also know how to be present. But I have checked myself many times in the spirit realm because I have said, Lord, I don't want to be performance-based. I want to have that relationship. I don't want to go through the motions. I want to move forward. This is what you look like when you're walking through the drought. And this is what you look like when you're going through the motions. You're still present. You can still teach Sunday school. You can still preach from the pulpit. You can still do all the things you do. But I'm telling you that you are not the same because you're going through a drought and you're going through the motions. I told the Lord, the motions without power, without his presence, I don't want it. I have been extremely tired in these last couple of weeks because I'm trying to finish up a project at the college that I vowed that I would finish, work through the day at Riversong, finish the college, and then that's putting me up till 2, sometimes till 1:30 at night in the morning, and then on top of that, do some of the other things that I need to do, which is packing. And so when I got up one morning, there was this thought in my mind. If you don't get up at this time, you could get a little bit more rest. So just stay in bed and get the rest. Then this other thought came in my mind, which I granted it being from Jesus. If you miss your prayer time today and you use this excuse, how many days will you use this excuse, and then it will be a W-E-A-K week before you pray? I got up because I did not want to go through a spiritual drought on top of being tired. I understand that coming in the presence of the Lord is where my rest really is. Your physical body can get tired, but your spiritual man can be renewed day by day. When I was growing up, the Clark sisters wrote a song, and you've heard me reference this before. And this is what the song said: if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then get down on your knees and crawl. But by all means, keep it moving. And they were talking about moving towards the things of God. Make sure that inside you are always pressing. You got to get in the press in order to make it. A work-orientated salvation is not a God salvation. God has called us not to equate performance with Him. Performance-based Christianity will produce parched grounds, lower stream levels. You need a watering of the word. And when a performance-based Christianity is voided of identity, it is not filled. It is not filled with a broken heart. A broken heart is what causes performance identity. It's trained to perform for attention, for approval, for validation. I have experienced some things in my walk now that I'm getting older that I can look back on and see. And you know what I know? I know that no matter what you do in life, no matter what you do for somebody in life, I've learned that no matter how many sermons you preach, I have learned that it's not important unless my relationship with Jesus Christ is correct. I have learned that all that matters on this earth is my relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, He will reward, He will do, He will pay. He said, whatever is right, I will do, I will give. But the most important thing is my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't equate my relationship with Jesus Christ to the knowledge of what people feel. I equate it with me getting in the presence of the Lord and hearing what He says about my relationship. So I want to encourage you that performance base is empty. Come out of the flesh drought and walk in relationship with Jesus Christ. The next thing is no time. We really get to a lot of places where we make a lot of excuses. This excuse will bring dying roots and brown grass. You have no idea how little time everyone in this room have. Everybody in this room is dealing with time. But to wake up in the morning and say, I have no time, to go to bed at night and say, I have no time, to get in the presence of the Lord, that's an excuse. Find time. You know what I have learned about time? We find time for everything else. We find time for the pleasures. We find time for whatever we want. It's like the saying, I have no money or I have no food, but you find time to eat other things. How did you get the food if you didn't have the money? And where did the food come from? We got to stop making excuses. And we have got to get in the presence of the Lord. And we have to say, you know what? I'm not making any more excuses. Church can become an excuse. Everything becomes an excuse. Talking to a friend, and she said, she's been telling me, my neighbor, that she's coming to church for a long time. I said, well, you know what? On the 27th, if you come to our church, you'll be coming without me. I'll be leaving. I said, so you have made lots of excuses. You need to get on the stick and decide what you're going to do. I said, because it's time now. Excuses will hold us back, and when we look, we are stuck somewhere. You know, I have had people that said, that started out in ministry with me, and they said, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. I'm in my 60s now, and they have not ever come forth in ministry. They've been at a standstill. They've been stuck because it was all about excuses. Brother Brandon talked a little bit about this, and I want to give you another scenario of it. Misplace anger. Misplace anger is one of those things that we can get caught in and we can't get out, and it will cause the worst drought you have ever seen in your whole life. This excuse will bring stress crops, loss of crops, and spiritual dividends. The notion of blaming Christ for everything that you don't see spiritually. You can blame Him for your kids. You can blame Him for your marriage. You can blame Him for your finances. You can blame Him for your disappointment in life. Whatever it is, you can walk around and blame Christ for it. But that there does come a time when we have to take some ownership. I give my son a power moment, a power minute every morning. I get up and I write him a power minute. So at first I thought he wasn't reading it. So I said, well, he never said anything. So a couple of weeks ago, I woke up one morning. I said, oh, I got to do this, that, and the other. So I didn't send the power minute. And then the next day I said, oh, I got to do this, that, and the other. And I didn't send it. Wednesday, he called me and he says, hey, Mom, what's going on with you? And I said, what do you mean? He says, you forgot to send me my stuff so I can read it and go to class. And I told Ruth I was just shocked. Because inside I was like, he reads it? My son is a guy of few words, so I didn't know if he was reading it. And so I was like, okay, I need to take this little space here and do something else. So I wrote him a little note of apology, and I said, I will be sending your power minute every morning. So I get up, and I send his power minute, and I leave him a scripture, and I said, do you read it? He says, Mom, when I see the power minute, I do what you're supposed to do. I take out my Bible, and I read the scripture that you gave me. And so it was like, duh, what's wrong with you, Mom? And so, you know, sometimes we just assume that our kids are not doing it. I felt really silly. And also, at that point, I felt like, okay, Lord, where my problem came in is I was getting lazy. Laziness is another thing that can cause a spiritual drought. And how is that different from misplaced anger? Because misplaced anger is something that we're blaming on God when we had something to do with it. Laziness is when we say, I'm just not doing it at all. I don't really care. I'm not going to put forth the effort. This excuse will cost you more than you will be willing to pay. Higher prices. Quality and quantity. Remember the prodigal son? The prodigal son said this. I want something. The prodigal son said, I will arise and I will go to my father's house. And you can change the slide. I will arise and I will go to my father's house. So my question to you is, will you arise and go to your father's house? You can't do this without going to your father's house. I want to encourage you. You have to have times that you get up and you go to your father's house. We're not talking about just being in this building, but your own sanctuary and your own home that you have built. Maybe it's in your car, maybe it's in your shower, but you have to arise and you have to get to your father's house. I remember being exasperated just a couple of days ago with everything that was overwhelming me. I told Ruth I had a list of 7 pages, and it was people I had to call and give the addresses to, things I have to change like insurance and all of that. And I remember on the second day, I just felt like, God, I can't do all of this, and I'm tired, and I'm just going to have a day of laziness. Well, I woke up the next day. I didn't do anything on that day. Guess what? The list didn't get shorter. It got longer because there was other things I had to do. So I decided, okay, it's time to knock it off, Robin. Get up and do what you're supposed to do, because the list isn't getting shorter. It's getting longer. Whatever you don't do for God today, then it just piles up tomorrow. When you don't get in the presence of God today, then you keep going, and it just piles up. I want to encourage you that we have to understand something about going to our Father's house. Going to our Father's house, we get there and we say, Lord, here I am. Do in me, work in me what you want to work in me. Whatever it is, I give myself to you. These past couple of days, I am glad I pushed through, because in pushing through, a day before, my sister called me to tell me that she has to have a total hysterectomy. I had laid down that night and woke up in the morning, And I was praying, and I kept seeing someone having surgery. So I called my sister, and I said, you know, God keeps showing me someone having surgery. And I said, but it's as if they were being cut on and something was going on. I said, can you tell me, because I was definitely there, and God is not going to show me Marilyn if I was definitely there. I said, what's going on? And she says, well, they've told me I have to have a total hysterectomy. So we prayed over the phone, and I said, why don't you find out from them if they have to cut the way that they have told you, or they can do it a different way. And she went back in and found out the surgeon that was going to do the surgery is no longer going to do the surgery because there are some problems with his license. They are giving her a brand new surgeon. And she's military, so now they're going to do it off the base and in a hospital. I don't know, and I don't understand. I'm not as well profound as God has given the gift to Mary and to Rhonda and to other people, but I knew that God kept speaking to me about surgery. And when I called her, I knew that God was saying something about it, and I could see the cutting or something going wrong. But I did know that God was speaking. And they're giving her a new surgeon, and with the new surgeon, the other one wasn't licensed properly. She's not going to have any problems, and I know that she's going to pull through and be healthy because God said so. But it's seasons in our lives and going through spiritual droughts, you don't know what God wants to minister to you about someone else. It's time for us to pull in, pull closer, get stronger so that God can speak to us. And clarity comes as we walk by faith. Here's something that someone said. You know, Robin, this is a faith walk. So I don't have to do all of that. This was my answer to them. But in order to have faith, you must learn about faith. This is a faith walk. But if you're not going to take time to learn about faith, you won't have it. You have to spend time in the presence of the Lord. There are no other excuses. There's no other way. Well, Robin, you haven't read a scripture. Here's the scripture. Can you put the scripture up there, please? Slide 8. I want to give you just a few seconds of history, so you don't need to go and back to this particular scripture. I just want to read that scripture. The past history is found in 1 Kings 17. We're not going to go to it. I'm just going to talk about it. It says, now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew, rain, or anything during the next few years until I give the word. So Elijah had gone in the presence of God, and God said, there'll be no rain, there'll be no nothing. Now, this is a little bit of a different story, but I want you to listen to what happened during the drought. The land of Israel was under a 3.5-year drought. Because of the drought, people were starving. Tens of thousands of people died. So droughts can bring death. And the nation became desperate in its condition, and many of the enemies came in to take from them. Did you hear that? A drought can get so bad that the enemy will come and take from you. Because you have allowed yourself to be weakened and to be broken down and have not fought to grow or to get back in there or even persevered or pushed. Here's what happens. The enemy comes in and he will take whatever he wants. Then it says, now the people repented. The prophets of Baal, they died, And God said, it's time to open the heavens and send down the much needed rain. Now I want to read the scripture. 1 Kings 18:41-46. Elijah prayed for rain. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. This eating and drinking, people think, oh, well, Elijah didn't care about all the other people and the things that happened. No, it's not callous. What he was saying to him is, we don't have to be afraid anymore. The fear is over. The drought is about to end. And he said, so get something to eat. So Ahab went to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed up to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed looking to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, go look out toward the sea. And the servant went and looked, then returning to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Wow, talking about hearing the voice of God and then being afraid. He said, I didn't see anything. Elijah said, go look. He comes back. He says, I didn't see anything. He did that 7 times. So those of you that God speaks to you, keep speaking and keep listening, because it gets scary. But God, if he said it, he'll bring it to pass. Because Elijah told him to look, and he went 7 times. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand raising from the sea. A little cloud. Then Elijah shouted, hurry up, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm. And Ahab looked quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead and of Ahab's chariots all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Let me tell you what happened. There was an abundance of rain that came. I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you comparing. Remember, I'm doing a comparison. I want to encourage you to tuck yourself in God and to really ride into your abundance of rain. There is an abundance there. And let me tell you something. You don't have to be located in this church for that abundance to take place. You don't have to be in a specific place. You just have to be at a place with God that you say, God, here I am. And whatever you want to do in me, to me, and through me, I'm willing. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. God, I want to follow you with my whole heart. When you look here, he says, you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:10-13. If you truly want to come out of a drought, do what you have to do. And that's the guy jumping, the slide there with the guy jumping. Do what you have to do. What are you willing to do to get out of this drought? What are you willing to do to come closer to God? What are you willing to do to move forward? I want to give you some things. Leave performance based behind. Pray and read your Bible and meditate. Let go of misplaced anger. Move forward. Do not go through the motions. It's harder to go through the motions than it is to actually do the work. I often think of something funny, and those of you that know me have heard this before. But my father, he had a third grade education, but he had more wisdom and common sense than anybody I ever knew. And this was his thing. He talked about, he finally became a foreman on his job. It took lots of years, lots of hard work. And Jesus Christ taught my father to read through giving him the book of John. And the first words he read was, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And God gave that to him. He would study for hours just to learn how to read. He was one of the smartest men I got to know. But there was something when he became a foreman that he said. He said one day to us, and we were like, "What?" He said, "You know, there are lots of people that have the art of nothingness." We were like, "Huh, Dad, what? What is that?" You know, you want to, that's when you start thinking you're up here, he's down there. "What is that, Dad?" He said, "They learn how to spend the entire day doing nothing." He said, "I have a couple of guys at work. And they come in the morning, and they walk around, and they do nothing." He said, "Then a little later in the day, they say they don't feel well, so they go to the sick bay." He said, "They stay in there for a little while, and they get a couple of aspirins, and then they come back." He said, "Then it's lunchtime. They leave for lunch. When they come back for lunch," he said, "they then still do nothing, and they sit around and talk, and you have to tell them that they're messing up the line and they need to get something done." He says, "And then they say to you, 'Well, is it possible for me to go home because I really don't feel well?' You tell them no, but you tell them, 'Go get a drink, maybe get in a soda or something like that. It'll help get you through the day.'" He says, "They go get a soda. They come back late." He says, "And then they have roughly an hour before work is over." He said, "And they do nothing." That's the art of nothingness. They've learned to do nothing all day. We would look at him like, "Huh?" But you know what? I have seen it. And I have learned that both in the spiritual realm and in the natural realm, many people have the gift of nothingness. They have learned to be in a particular place and do nothing because they want someone to drag them through. People aren't going to drag you through. You have got to come to a place that you are willing to do whatever you need to do. He says, "Seek me. Do not rely on what you know. Do not rely on what you know, and do not look for people to drag you through life." Because one of the things you need to know that God is asking us to push, pray until something happens. Find an accountability partner, someone you can speak to honestly. If you want this relationship, Brother Brandon talked about being online, doing what you need to do. If you want a relationship with Jesus Christ and you know that you have that tendency to move away from the Word and to get a little lackadaisical, get an accountability partner. Ask a person to walk alongside you that's going to talk to you about prayer, that's going to reach out and grab you when they see you getting a little slow or a little parched. Get an accountability partner. And then the last thing is, know you must have a determination. This next slide ministered to me. Because when I was growing up, our pastor used to walk around the church during prayer time, and he'd say, "Are you determined? Or are you going to leave here exactly like you came?" There's always a choice. You can be determined, or you can leave exactly like you came. That's your choice. You have to have a determination to break through. And your choice, God's not going to drag you. Your choice is that you run towards it. I get excited when I see people in the midst of preaching, all types of things, when they run to the altar. Even when praise is going on, when worship's going on, we seem a little constricted these days that we feel like, "I want to go pray, but what if everybody's looking at me? I want to run to the altar and I want to fall down, but everybody's looking at me." Forget about the people that's looking at you. Forget about the idea of what is known as an order that is not real, and follow God's plan and fight for what you want. Go get it. Go get it. three Sundays ago, I was at my sister's church, and the entire time while the pastor was preaching, people kept coming up. When the service was just about to come, where he was asking for an altar call, the altars were already filled. And then he said, if anybody else wants to join them, come. We are putting a restriction on ourselves, and we're missing the plan of God. I'm saying to you that you have to make up your mind. Will you stay in this drought? Because some of us are doing what we need to do to make sure we don't stay in spiritual droughts. You have to be determined. If today you needed to go to the hospital, would you sit in your seat and die, or would you tell people all around you, get me to the hospital? What I love about little children is there can be a little cut so small on your finger that nobody else could see it. You actually need a magnifying glass. But let me tell you something. They are going to show it to you 900 times until you pay attention. Miss Robert, I hurt my finger. Okay, where does it hurt, sweetheart? Right there. Okay. Well, I'll get you a bandage in a little while. Miss Robin, yes, I hurt my finger. And they will pull on your clothes, yank at you, and do everything. Guess what? You better get up and get a Band-Aid if you want them to stop. Pay some attention, find it. Sometimes I put the bandage in the wrong spot. They say, not there. I can't even see it. And I said, where do you want the bandage? Right here. So I take the bandage off, put on another one, because you know bandages don't work like they used to. So you have to put on a brand new one. And then I put it in that spot, and they say, thank you. A determination to break through, a determination to receive a bandage. The funny thing I want to tell you about accountability. Some of y'all wear people out in the area of accountability. I remember something funny that my mother said one time, and we were laughing because of the way she said it. She says, Pastor assigned me to mentor a young lady. She says, so I call her every day. I go see her. I talk to her. I help her. She says, but she's still not doing what's right. She said, you know what? That woman wants me to drag her, but I'm sorry, I'm not. She said, I'm tired. I laughed so hard because you have to know my mom. She meant it. And she really meant that she was done. You would have to know her. When she gets done, it's over. She said, if she wants... She got serious all of a sudden. She said, Robin, if she really, really wants this, I will not have to drag her. She will come running. And she'll call me sometimes for prayer. She'll call me and say, let's get together and read God's word. She'll call me. I'm giving you an invitation. It's raining. It's raining. It's raining outside, it just started, and it's raining. Look at the children, and it just started raining. It's raining. The question I want to ask you is how to let God breathe life into your dry bones. How can God breathe life into your dry bones? Let me say something. Stand to your feet, please. You know if you're going through a drought or not. What does a drought look like? You feel spiritually lethargic. No desire to seek. Cold towards the things of God. You have not sensed the presence of God for a long while. You have made excuses. You have even given God your excuses. You have failed to watch. You have failed to be present so he can speak to you. But I hear the abundance of rain. And I have to tell you something. There are times in my time of seeking the Lord that after I get through praying, I have to get up and move. I have to get up and just walk around, and I have to get up and worship. I have to get up and just thank him, because I feel like the floodgates have opened. And let me tell you, when the floodgates open, the presence and the spirit of the living God comes down, and anything I want to do, I can't do it, because everything in me says hallelujah and glory to God. And I feel like running. I feel like taking off running, because he meets me there. It's raining, and every head bowed and every eye closed. Are you ready? Are you ready? If you're here today and it's been a struggle, and Brother Brandon talked about something that fits right in here. Those struggles that you have gone through, you've gone through them so long that they seem like they've caused a separation because you've hurt, because of the way that things have hurt you. I'm going to tell you like this, run down. Run down and let us pray with you. Come down. Come in the presence of the Lord. Come and get what you need, because Christ is here to give it to you, but it's your choice. You say, Pastor Bill, I don't want people to know. I'm going to challenge you today. Come anyway. Come anyway, because this is about you. This is about what you need. I'm going to ask those that are going to pray with me to please come. I want you to come, and I want you to recognize this. This is about you. There's a song that says, nothing else will do. I just want you. You know, we had River Songs Retreat. And in the midst of that retreat, we started singing, nothing else will do. I just want you. And the more we sang that song, we started crying, and there was a presence of the Lord. Because when you get to a place that you say, God, I don't want anything else, I just want you. I just want you. They could offer me $1 million, but I don't want anything. I want you. Nothing else can do. I just want you. If that's your goal, if that's really what you want, is your heart crying, I just want you. I just want you. If you're here and that's your goal, I want you to come and pray with someone else and say, God, just give them you. More of you, more of you, more of you. I don't care about a lot of things, but I do care. I want more of him. I want to grow. I want to go. I want to be where he wants me to be. At the time when the Lord calls my name, I want to be there. I don't want to be missing. I want to be there. I want to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Nothing else will do. I'm asking you. Come out of the spiritual drought. And come into the presence of the Lord. If you are going to leave, I'm going to dismiss everybody else that wants to go. And if you want to come up, brothers, we need people to pray. I'm going to ask you to come up and just really, really, really get in the presence of the Lord. A spiritual drought hurts so very badly. I've been down that road. And fighting to get back, it takes everything within you. But when you get back, you are so happy, and you never, ever, ever, ever want to end up on the other side of that road. It's raining. Father, I come before you, Lord, and I thank you for the rain. I thank you for the rain of your spirit. I thank you, Lord, that all of us are here today. And at one point or another, Father, we have gone through disappointments, pains, and even droughts. And in the name of Jesus, I pray right now, Father, that we would make up in our minds that nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. I just want you. I want you in the morning. I want you in the evening. I want you all day long. Lord, I want you in the morning when I wake up. God, wherever I am, I want you to, hallelujah, I want you to be there. I just want you. Let our innermost being cry out, Father. I want you. I want you. I want you. I want to know more about you. I want to have you in my life. I want to understand you. I want you to speak to me. God, I want to cuddle with you. I want spiritual intimacy, Father, because you are there to take us to a new level. I want to go to that new level holding your hand and you guiding me. I just want you today, Father, as we leave this building, those that are going to leave, Lord, may you continue to floodgate them. May you follow them in their cars. Lord, every corner that I love, oh, shut up. When they turn a corner, Father, may your presence and your spirit be there. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Leave quietly if you're leaving. And let those that are at the altar be ministered to.